The following broadcast is a production of the Ministries of Marcus A. Kyler. We pray this message is both inspirational and transformational. For more information about Marcus, please visit marcusakyler.com. For more information about the communications consulting services he can provide for your ministry or nonprofit organization, please visit yourdigitalpastor.co. Thank you for listening. And be blessed.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Yeah.
Look, I've had it all, and I've lost it all. Yeah. I've been at the mountaintop, and I've been in the valley. But through it all, what I've come to realize more than anything is that this church communications thing, this is my passion. And I'm here to use my passion to help you tell the greatest story that's ever been told, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I get it. You need a friend, a shepherd, to guide you through this ever-changing digital ministry landscape while delivering a dose of encouragement along the way. Well, I'm that guy. I'm your man Marcus, and I am your digital pastor. Welcome back to another episode of the Your Digital Pastor podcast. I have not decided yet what I am going to name or what number I'm going to put on this podcast. Don't know if it is going to count as a full episode or not. I'm not doing segments, but I'm just going to riff tonight just because it's been a real struggle. And I think for at least the past 3 or 4 months, I have not done more than 2 episodes in a month. This is designed to be a weekly podcast, and I have not fulfilled my end of the bargain on that. And I have not, I violated what is supposed to be the first rule of podcasting. Well, maybe not the first rule, but definitely a rule when it comes to successful podcasting, and it is that of consistency. I have not been as consistent as I've wanted to be. I have been in transition for quite some time. My life has been in major transition for the past several years, and we are finally on the good side of that transition now. But that's from a macro standpoint. Now, from a micro standpoint, the micro transition is that I was blessed at the end of the year to receive a promotion on my job, and the only reason I was in that job in the first place was because I've been struggling for a number of years to really find my footing after leaving pastoral ministry, and really finding what am I going to do to make a living, what am I going to do to support my family, who is going to take a chance on me, and really bank on the fact that no, I may not be a pastor anymore, and yes, all of my professional experience that is that has any value is in the church. And yes, that experience means something. People struggle to look at the experience that a pastor has and really value that in the marketplace, even though, you know, pastors do a lot of things that are needed in the marketplace. You know, we have the responsibility for our churches of, you know, managing budgets and, you know, building teams, developing strategic plans, you know, community development, community involvement, you know, running meetings, you know, developing a workforce, you know, as far as, you know, our staffs and things like that. We have, you know, plenty of leadership responsibilities. You know, we are up in front of people all the time as pastors. You know, so there are a lot of things that we do, you know, from a financial standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a public speaking standpoint, from a team building standpoint, from, you know, putting together publications and strategic planning standpoint. You know, there's a lot of experience that pastors have that is very much valuable in the workplace, and it's something that you know, hiring managers look for when they're looking for candidates who they think have great leadership qualities. And somehow, because they see church on a resume, somehow that experience is discounted. It's not given the same weight as if that experience as if it were to come from somewhere else. And that's something that has been very frustrating over the years. And if you're listening to this and you doubt whether what it is that I'm saying, trust me, you have likely not walked in my shoes, and definitely haven't experienced 7-8 years of, you know, not really making much by the way of income, because people don't think that you have any valuable experience. And this is someone who, you know, I didn't go to Bible college, you know what I'm saying? Like, I went to seminary. I have a master's of divinity. I have a doctor of ministry. Yes, I went to seminary, but I didn't go to Bible college for my undergrad. You know what I'm saying? I've done more than quote unquote church stuff, you know, throughout my life. You know, I have a professional degree. You know, my undergrad degree is in electrical engineering. And even with my technical background, and even though I had rigorous training from a top 5 engineering institution in the world, you know, I was unable to get work for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, and it really took having to really step back and really focus, really get before God, and really try to, you know, get a little bit more creative about my job search. And it really, you know, made me had to take a step back and realize that in order for me to get to where I needed to get to, I was gonna have to, you know, really go entry level. Like really, really, really entry level to, you know, hopefully get myself into a position where I can just get my foot in the door, you know, prove my value, prove my worth, prove that I can make this thing happen, and prove that I was somebody who could lead and who could bring value to a company, and then, you know, move up. And that's exactly what the company for whom I'm working right now gave me the opportunity to do, and I am forever grateful. And so it's been a period of transition. Now, I will say, you know, I don't know. I know that God is not through with me when it comes to ministry. I believe that church communications is my ministry. If I had the opportunity to do that full time, and if that opens back up, then that is, you know, that's my first love, and that's something that I would have to pursue. But while I'm waiting, you know, while God opens that door for that church or that organization to finally take a look at my credentials and look at the research that I've done over the years, and look at the things that I've you know, contributed, and look at the consulting projects that I've worked on in the area of church communications, and, you know, look at my involvement in the community of church communicators and really begin to look at the totality of what I'm bringing to the table and decide to give me an opportunity. You know, until that opportunity comes to the table, I'm going to build up my capacity, and I'm going to go as far as I can in the position that God has allowed me to have right now. And so, you know, what I'm doing every day, or, you know, my 9-to-5, so to speak, is in the area of operations management for a very large company that, let's just say, you likely do business with, maybe not on a daily basis, but you do business with them very often. And if you do any business online, and if you do any ordering online, let's just say, chances are you probably do business a couple times a month with the company that I work for. And so this micro transition that I was talking about at the outset, it is you know, me adjusting to a new position, and so this new position required that I go through a month of training. I just finished that month of training, and now we're getting ready to go through a week of preparation, because the position that I was promoted to, it is at a new location that we're opening up. And so because of that, because of us opening up this new location, I had to, you know, get training for a month. And then after the training, what we're getting ready to go through now is basically our week of preparation, where we are all together in the new building, doing what we need to do to get ready to open up operations in this building. And so it's very exciting. I've always been someone who's been drawn to building projects. I believe that I am anointed as a builder. Some people are anointed as builders. Some are anointed as interior decorators. Some are landscapers, you know, and others are real estate agents, you know, to carry that metaphor as far as you can carry it. But as for me, I know that in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to that part of the process, I am a builder. I love a new work. I love being at the ground level of new operations. I believe that's something that I've anointed to, and I don't think it's a mistake at all that this is the opportunity that God has opened up for me. And so this micro transition again is just you know, getting into that. And and so tomorrow we begin the week of preparation after my month of training to open up this new location. So it's very exciting. And you know, I'm just thankful for all the opportunities that this position has afforded me, and all the experiences that I've had so far, and the wonderful people that I've had the opportunity to get to know and to work with. It's been a pleasure. But one negative about this is that I haven't been able to be as consistent with the podcast as I've wanted to be. And you know, once I get to a sense of normalcy, whatever that looks like, I'm not sure what that looks like, but whatever that looks like, when I get to that point, then my prayer is that I will begin to churn out regular episodes again. But until then, what I need to do a better job of is, you know, really, you know, turning on the mic, you know, turning on my voice recorder and just getting after it, which is something that I used to do a lot of, you know, back in the day. And I want to do more of that now because of the way that I set up the podcast. In my mind, there's a block when it comes to, you know, motivation, not necessarily motivation, but there's a mental block when it comes to, you know, preparing myself mentally to record a podcast, because I know that it's not going to have all the segments in it. that I typically put in a podcast. And sometimes all I have time to do is to just talk about what it is that I want to talk about. I don't necessarily have the devotional prepared. I don't have the tool of the week. I don't have your inspirational moment. And so because of that, it's prevented me. Well, nothing's prevented me except for myself, but it's deterred me from recording all the content that I wanted to record. I had an episode that I wanted to record about the life of Kobe Bryant and the gift in death. You know, even though, you know, a lot of us have been mourning and a lot of us are very, sad about his tragic passing and that of his daughter and the other seven people who were on the helicopter. There's a lot that can be learned from death, and there are gifts that death and the mourning process that happens in death. There are a lot of gifts that death gives us, and I wanted to go into some of those, but it's an episode that I never got around to recording because, of course, this was happening at the same time that I'm, you know, going through my month of training at my new location. You know, the hours were drastically different hours than I had before. It had me waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm always willing to to be an early bird because I don't want to try to work out, which is something that is a priority for me, which is something that I've committed to doing every day of my life. I don't want to work out after work because it's just a fruitless enterprise for me. It's not going to happen. You know, after work, you know, my life is not my own. I have two children, and you know, my evenings are completely devoted to them. And so because of that, anything that doesn't happen before work or before work is over is not going to happen. And so I was getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get my workout in to be at work by 4:30. You know, I wasn't just waking up at 3:45 to get dressed real quick and get out the door to get to work by 4:30. I was getting up, you know, early enough to get the workout in and to do everything that I need to do to get out of the house and get to work, having already worked out and you know, maintaining my physical fitness, even in the midst of transition, even in the midst of a schedule that is in flux and is constantly changing. Because, you know, whatever matters to you, you're gonna get it done. Whatever matters to you, you're going to figure out how to get it done. And that's been my attitude and my disposition when it comes to working out. And so because of that, again, there were some episodes that I did not record, and what I just shared about the gifts of death and the gifts that death gives us, especially the death of an icon, those specific gifts, that's just an episode that I didn't get a chance to record, and I thought it was going to be a pretty good one, but we're just at a point in time now where that's not timely anymore. You know, it's past. You know, to get the maximum value out of content, you need to produce that content in the window of opportunity, and when you don't, you're just not going to get the impact that you need to get off of it, and it's not going to mean as much. And so I said all that to say that I'm going to start doing a better job of just trying to get on here and get after it. And so, some episodes are going to be full. They're going to be what you've grown accustomed to hearing from me. And then some of them are going to be more on, the short format that you've heard from me also before, where I'm just getting on and talking for a few minutes. But I think that what I'm going to do, And I'm talking through this now, but what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to just give, regardless of, whatever format it is, I'm going to number the episode, whatever it is in the sequence. from now on, because, you know, I believe I have up to, and I'm not looking at it right now, but I believe I've produced 33. I had 33, what I call full episodes of the podcast. But there are, if you know, look in the RSS feed, you know, there are far more than 33 entries of this podcast. You know, we have, you know, probably a good 100 or so devotionals. Maybe not 100, but at least a good, you know, 50 or so devotionals. You know, we have the full episodes. We have the podcast shorts. You know, we have, you know, one or two that I've labeled bonus as well. And so, you know, in that, you know, there's a lot that has been in this podcast feed over the past year and a half or so, and so when you see 33 or when you see 34, that's not necessarily a reflection of you know, the amount of work that's been, you know, put into the pod. And so I think I'm just going to start naming them. I'm just going to start naming them or numbering them just in sequence, and not necessarily, you know, pertaining to what I'm talking about. So if it's a podcast short, then it's still going to get the same number as if it were a full episode. So prayerfully, you all were following me as I'm following with me as I'm just you know, talking through this. But anyway, what I want to talk about for a few minutes while I'm getting my daughter's lunch ready for tomorrow. before I hop into bed, I want to talk about the XFL. I want to talk about the XFL because I think there are a few lessons that we can learn from transition. I'm obsessed with stories of transition, reinvention, and redemption, because I believe that that's what my life is all about. My life has been all about transition for the past several years. It's been all about redemption, because I've been looking for redemption from, you know, just not getting the job done, just flat out not getting the job done. And, you know, I've had some failures in my life that I'm trying to be redeemed from, you know, whether it's a failed business or a failed ministry, a failed marriage. You know, I have some failures that I'm trying to get past, and trying to keep myself encouraged, because I know that I am not my failures. I know that I am not the worst things that I've ever done in my life. I know that I am, you know, better than those things. And I know that I will rise again. And I know that there's greatness that is yet in me. And that even though my life may look average as of right now, I know that I am extraordinary. And I know I come from extraordinary stock. I was raised by extraordinary people, especially an extraordinary mother who is no longer with me. But, you know, she put that propensity for extraordinary living and extraordinary thinking on the inside of me, and I owe it to her, and I owe it to God to never give up on my pursuit for excellence, on my pursuit for the extraordinary. I owe it to God, and I owe it to my mother, and I owe it to myself. And so I know that I will never be average, because I would not accept average. And so because of that, not succumbing to average and not succumbing to ordinary, what has caused me to do is to reinvent myself. And so I've been obsessed with people and with corporations and you know, with sports teams, with apps, with you know, with individuals who have reinvented themselves, and with objects that are repurposed, and with companies that are rebranded. And that's why I'm just fascinated with the XFL. I'm fascinated, first of all, because you know, I am a sports fan. I love sports. I've loved sports since the day I was born. I watch most sports, and you know, I watch a lot more sports than I watch you know, regular television, like TV shows and movies or whatever. A lot of people are frustrated because I don't, you know, watch movies. I'm not a huge movie buff. You know, I just would rather watch a sporting event over a movie or a TV show almost every time, and that's just me. And so, but yeah, so the XFL, I'm fascinated with the XFL because you know, naturally as a football fan, you know, when football season is over, you know, football in the United States of America, it consumes, you know, our lives, you know, for about, you know, 6 months, and then it's gone. And you know, you're clamoring for more. You want something, and so the XFL has positioned itself with its scheduling to give us that something more. So of course I'm fascinated for that reason, but I'm also fascinated because this is the second iteration of the XFL. If anybody remembers, the XFL was around in the early aughts, 2001 to be exact, and I remember the XFL. I remember, you know, how excited WWF at the time, but now WWE founder and CEO Vince McMahon. I was, you know, he was so excited about it, and he, you know, put so much of his heart and soul into it, and you know, he wanted it to be exciting because what did we all say about the NFL at the time? It was the no fun league, and he was branding the XFL as, you know, something that was going to be more exciting. He wanted it to be more fan friendly. Wanted it to be a lot more fun. He wanted it to just be something that was going to differentiate itself in the marketplace by the excitement that was around it. And the way that the league differentiated itself at the time was with things that you might could consider gimmicks. One gimmick being, and everybody knows, everybody remembers that you could have nicknames on the back of your uniform. Of course, the NFL, you know, whatever your legal name or what, or like we like to say in the black community, whatever your government name is, that is the name that you have to have on the back of your uniform. In the XFL, you were able to have a nickname on there. So, of course, the nickname that we all were familiar with, and I don't even think anybody can name another one, because I know I can't, and most people, when they talk about the old XFL, they can't either. But we all remember "He Hate Me." we all remember that nickname, and we all remember him, and he was braggadocious, and he was, you know, full of excitement, and he you know, had a lot of look at me moments, and he was the embodiment of what I believe Vince McMahon wanted the XFL to be at the time. And so that was exciting, and so that was a gimmick. Another gimmick was with the cheerleaders, you know, and people will talk about the fact that the cheerleaders, you know, were scantily clad and everything like that. You know, cheerleaders in the NFL have always been, well, I'm not going to say always, but you know, there hasn't been a time in, you know, modern football, at least within the past quarter century, where the cheerleaders have necessarily been fully clothed. So, but so we can't necessarily say that they were scantily clad. You know, just at face value. I mean, maybe they were a little less clothed than the cheerleaders in the NFL. But yeah. So I guess you could say so, relatively speaking, or comparatively speaking. And so that was another thing that people saw as a gimmick, was the over sexualization of the cheerleaders in the XFL. And so that was another thing. And there were some other things that were different that I don't necessarily believe were gimmicks, but were some of the things that I liked. There were more individuals in the field of play and on the sidelines who were mic'd up. You know, your quarterback was mic'd up on every play. And of course, you know, you have this in the NFL, but it's different because, you know, you only hear the mic. It's not a part of the broadcast. The only time that you'll hear the quarterback who is mic'd up, you'll only hear them on replays and things of that nature when they go to whatever camera that quarterback who was mic'd up was used, and the same thing goes for the coaches, and so the difference with the XFL is that you know, the quarterback would be mic'd up, but you would be able to hear that on the main broadcast, and so that was something that was different about the XFL. That was something that people liked. There were different camera angles also, and I think that was something that was also a welcome addition. But, you know, unfortunately, because and you know, there's been a lot of analysis as to why the XFL didn't work the first time around. You know, there was a time where there was a game that was supposed to end at a certain time. It didn't. And there was an issue with it being preempted, and I forgot exactly what happened, but that scheduling snafu and what happened with that game and it going longer than it was supposed to, and what happened with the broadcast, that was something that really dealt a huge blow to the league. And had that not happened, you know, maybe they would have been able to make it past that one season, but it didn't. But this is why I'm fascinated with the XFL. Vince McMahon did not give up. This was 2001. Okay, we're now in 2020. We are now in 2020. Vince McMahon never gave up on his dream of having an alternative football league. And so here we are, you know, all these years later, with the second iteration of this league. And after the first weekend, I must say I am I'm thoroughly impressed with the product. I was you know, wonderfully and pleasantly surprised with just how enjoyable the broadcast was. I enjoyed it, and there were two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, and so the fourth game of the weekend might have been the one that I enjoyed the most, but it was the lowest scoring of the four games, and you know, I just enjoyed it just because of there was just a lot of banter that was going back and forth between the people who were doing the broadcast, and there was a lot of dialogue on the sidelines. You know, when the coaches were being interviewed, you know, when the quarterbacks, you know, the mic'd up quarterbacks were talking, and the coaches were talking, and you could hear the coaches calling each play. And so that was exciting to hear the quarterback call each play on one mic. You could hear the quarterback with the cadence on another mic. You could hear the offensive and defensive coordinators calling plays on another mic. And these were things that were all integrated within the broadcast. These were not something. These were not just things that you could hear on replays, but these were all these different mic sources were all happening within the broadcast. And so that's something that was really exciting. The camera angles were incredible, and what I really liked this time around was, you know, when you go back to the drawing board on something and you take enough time, no matter how long it takes, to evaluate what worked and what didn't. You know, when you bring something to the marketplace that is not brand new, like you're not when you are in the business of being an industry disruptor, and you're not necessarily bringing something new to the marketplace, but you're disrupting the marketplace, and you're disrupting whatever product line you are you're entering, or you're disrupting an industry. What happens is that you're focused on differentiation. And it's important to differentiate yourself, because you're bringing something unique. You're bringing something new to the marketplace. You're concentrating on your USP, your unique selling proposition. And so you must differentiate yourself in some kind of way, or else, you know, why is anybody going to consume your product when your product is not different enough from what's already out there to warrant your product being considered? And so, you know, the XFL was all about differentiation the first time around. And, you know, we talked about it before with, you know, with the cheerleaders uniforms being different, and with, you know, with the uniforms being different, and the focus on, you know, being crowd centric, and just some of the, you know, camera angles, and the way the production value of the whole thing, you know. So the XFL from the beginning was always focused on differentiation, but the ways in which the product was differentiated from the NFL the first time around, those weren't necessarily seen as sustainable points of differentiation. You have to have sustainable points of differentiation. That did not happen the first time around, but in now this 2020 iteration of the league, I think that they have definitely found some points of differentiation that I believe will be that are not only genius, that are not only innovative, but I believe they will be sustainable points of differentiation. One such sustainable point of differentiation is with the rules, the rules of, and I guess you could, you know, categorize a lot of the points with just the rules themselves. You know, one problem that people have with the NFL right now is that a lot of the fun has been legislated out of the game because of the emphasis now on safety. The NFL turned a blind eye for a very long time to points of safety, and was acting like people weren't getting hurt until lawsuits started coming, until, you know, movies and documentaries and exposés started to be produced about concussions and about injuries that were sustained, and about people who killed themselves ultimately because they could not deal with the mental injuries that they had suffered, the brain injuries that they had suffered, and the effects of those, you know, and it caused them to want to commit suicide. The NFL, it got so hot for them that they were forced to have to do something about it. And so, in doing something about it, there have been a lot of rules over time that have been legislated into the game that have, you know, really taken a lot of the excitement out of the gameplay, to be very honest. Where the XFL, I believe, has provided some really valuable and, I believe, sustainable differentiation, is that they really took some time to really think about what fans want, and, you know, think about how to deliver what fans want in a way that is not going to compromise safety. And so the way that they did that is, you know, with, for instance, really bringing special teams back into relevance. The NFL had really legislated special teams out of the game with this different kickoff rules and you know, basically making a touchback easier so that returns were tougher, because that was that was a place where it was seen that injuries could happen. And so what did the XFL do? They tweaked the rules so that you know, you could have the kickoff and it wasn't going to make a touchback easier. No, because you want touchback, or you want kickoff returns, because kickoff returns and punt returns are exciting. They're an exciting part of the game. You want the return game to be a part of the game. And so they took time to think about how they could do that in a way that's going to be safe. And so they figured out how to do that and how to execute that well. And I believe that it did go very, very well. There were some exciting kickoff returns, and it was done so in a safe way with the rules that they implemented and with what they were able to put in place. And just with the rules with the extra points, there's no kicking for extra points, and so it makes it tougher to get extra points. And so every play, there's no formality in any play in the game. And a lot of times the extra point is just a formality. There are no formalities. You know, you can, whatever extra point you choose, whether it's the 1 point, 3 point, or of the 5 point variety, you're going to run another play for it. And that's something that brings some excitement to the game. You also have, you also have where if you punt the ball and it goes into the end zone, the touchback goes to the 35-yard line. And so depending on where you are on the field, it makes it more advantageous for you to perhaps go for it on fourth down. And that's something that's also exciting. fans want teams to go for it on fourth down. And so these are some of the examples of the innovations that were added to this iteration of the XFL in 2020 that I really believe that have created a wonderful product. I don't believe Vince McMahon or Commissioner Oliver Luck could have possibly prayed for a better opening weekend than that which we got for the XFL. And they have to be excited. I think a lot of people are excited. And I'm just looking forward to what's going to transpire over the next 3 months. And going to see, you know, just how far we can take this thing. And I think they've really got something here. And as long as the money's right and the sponsorships can continue to grow so that they can maintain an operating budget, which the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, was unable to do. As long as that can happen, I believe that the XFL is something that might be able to stay around for a little while, and I would love to see that. And so, again, I've just been fascinated with the XFL, and I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen with the product, because I am obsessed with redemption. I'm obsessed with reinvention and with rebranding, because these are things that I've had to do in my own life. I've had to, you know, rebrand myself. I've had to reinvent myself a number of times. I'm doing that even now. I am seeking redemption for every mistake I've ever made in my life, every place where I believe I've fallen short. I'm seeking redemption for those things. And so that's why the XFL is so fascinating to me. But, you know, what can we take away from what the XFL has been able to do? What can we take away from this opening weekend that can help us with, you know, where we are in our lives, if we believe that we need to reinvent, or we need to be redeemed, or we need to rebrand? What things can we take away? And I believe that we can take away, you know, three aspects of what it means to rebrand, to redeem, or to reinvent. I think there are three things that we can take away, and those three things have to do with, you know, when we're doing something new or we're trying to do something again, being cognizant of A, what we keep, B, what we get rid of, and C, what we add. So A, what we keep, B, what we get rid of, and C, what we add. And so, you know, what things did the XFL decide to keep? They decided to keep the emphasis on, you know, the extra mics for the quarterbacks and the coaches and the coordinators, and integrating those into the main broadcast real time. I think that was something that and the referees as well. And so, you know, hearing quarterbacks call out plays, hearing coaches call out plays, and coordinators calling out plays, hearing the refs discuss in real time, you know what's going to happen with the penalty. Hearing those things is something that brings a lot of excitement to the game, because you're bringing more insight into what it is that you're watching. That really worked. That really, really worked. What also worked was the extra camera angles and just being able to view the broadcast and being able to view the field and the players from different angles from that which we are typically accustomed to in during traditional football broadcasts. So that was something that also worked. So these are things that the XFL kept from its previous iteration. What did the league get rid of that did not work? They got rid of the over-sexualization of the cheerleaders. That's not something that was particularly successful before. That was something that was seen as gimmicky, and so it didn't work. What also didn't work was the nicknames on the back of the uniforms. You know, that's something that we remember, you know, but it's also something that didn't work. We only remember one person's nickname. I don't remember anybody ever being able to name another nickname from the original XFL. So that was something that was seen as gimmicky, so it didn't work. And so these were things that the XFL did not keep. And so, again, we have things that we keep, things that we did not keep. So what did the XFL add? They added rule changes to football that doesn't change the nature of the game that is being played. It keeps the integrity of the game, but it brings aspects to the game that that we as fans like. We wanted you know, we wanted the special teams, and we wanted the return game to be a part of the league again. You know, we like it when teams go for it on fourth down. You know, we like it when teams you know, don't kick on extra points and go for two, and so you know, when they basically took away when the XFL, you know, in taking away you know, kicking for extra points and you know, giving you more options for scoring, but making it to where none of those options included kicking, you know, you've added excitement to the game. When you penalize basically teams for touchbacks by bringing the ball out to the 35-yard line instead of the 20, you know, you've added excitement to the game, because you're going to go for it on fourth down more. You know, when you change the way that kickoff returns are executed, you brought excitement back to the game. And they've done all of these things without changing the integrity of the game. So you know you're watching football and not some gimmicky football, but you also haven't eliminated the safety, or you haven't compromised the safety with any of these rules changes. So so they've added excitement to the game. So they kept the production value that was different. They got rid of the gimmicks that did not work, and they added some aspects that allowed for better gameplay and more exciting gameplay for the fans. So when you're reinventing yourself and when you are when you're doing something for a second time, we have to be cognizant, and we have to really take time to brainstorm what you keep, what you get rid of, and what you add. And when you can execute those three things successfully, then you can have a great product, and you can succeed in your rebranding and reinvention process. And so so those are my thoughts about the XFL. Those are my thoughts about reinvention, and prayerfully just me rambling on for a little while. I pray that this is something that you find some value in. I'm going to try to do this more often, and I've actually created enough content that I guess we can make this a full episode. And so my prayer is just that as I'm able to give you all these thoughts more, that this can be something that you will find of value, so that you know, we can continue to move forward with the podcast. You know, these are all aspects of, you know, communication. When you're communicating something, you know, you often are dealing with you know, rebranding in communications. You're often dealing with you know, reinvention in communications. You're often, you know, dealing with you know, having to evaluate what you're going to get rid of and what you're going to keep, and things that are going to make whatever you're doing better. And so I just want to add as much value as possible. I'd love to hear your feedback. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And I pray that you will join me once again on the next one as I continue to try to help you navigate this ever-changing digital ministry landscape. God bless you, and we'll talk soon. Thank you for listening to Your Digital Pastor. Until next time, be encouraged and be empowered.